In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. As he does every Monday at 11 o'clock, he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Well, we're kind of trying to think through some things here, as I'm sure they're trying to do in Berea right now. Tell me what this situation on the offensive line calls for. Does it call for patience, for action, overreacting, what does it call for? You know, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would say overreacting is probably not the right move, just in general. But I think that's a good question, Jeff. My first thought is patience. You know, I'm assuming, and I think the Browns are assuming, that Jed Wills will be back at some time relatively soon. Maybe that's not week one, but if it's week three and he's fine after that, do you really need to go try to go find somebody, right? David Bakhtiari or whoever it is, right? Try to make a big move to adjust left tackle when you believe your starting left tackle's going to be back in week three. And I'm just using week three. It could be week one, right?
Right.
Do you need to go make that kind of move? If James Hudson's only going to be out for a little bit, like Kevin Stefanski indicated yesterday, and Jermaine Ifedi's hand is okay, then you have two other tackles and you're supposed to get Jack Conklin back at some point. And then you're probably fine, right? I mean, I get that now it looks really bad and you have Ifedi and then two other guys and DeJuan Jones, and I don't know how you're going to get through this week, so you're going to have to add somebody to get through this week. But if you're talking about the regular season and long term, I think patience might be okay, assuming you're going to get Jed Wills back relatively early. Now, they thought they were going to have him back by now, so I think there is some concern there.
Is there a place of depth where you think the Browns, if they needed to make a move to go out and get an offensive lineman, they could do it?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's hard to go get a tackle.
I know.
Right? There's just not a ton of them, right? The Browns went through this last year. Right? They lost, Conklin week one, then they lose Wills, then they lose Jones. They lost another guy that they was one of their veterans, right? So they really lost about four out of their first five guys last year, and they're playing Jerron Christian, right, at left tackle a bunch of the year, and James Hudson the third. So they're just not a bunch of tackles. But I'm sure some team has a tackle position that they feel pretty good about. And if I were the Browns, yeah, they have a ton of D tackles, and you could trade one of them in the hope of getting an offensive tackle, right? Like, to me, that makes the most sense, whether it's Siaki Ika or somebody else along that front. They have a bunch of D-tackles.
Is this the point where we say this is why Bill Callahan was a miracle worker? And it's nothing against Andy Dickerson. I'm just – I keep wondering, because it seemed like everything Bill touched while he was here worked. And I don't know that – I don't know if that's luck or that it was just the right guys or right technique or whatever. But – this seems to be one of those spots you're like, wow, we're going to find out how much we miss him right now, right?
Well, that's certainly a part of this, right, is that the team felt better knowing Bill Callahan was coaching those guys up. And he probably got the most out of, whether it's DeJuan Jones last year or James Hudson the third or Jerron Christian, right? I mean, those guys were able – the Browns were able to go to the playoffs with Hudson and Christian playing near tackles for the last, whatever it was, month and a half of the season. And I do think Callahan deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, having said that, it's not like they left those guys on an island, right? They gave them help, and you have to figure out a way to not let that wreck your game and wreck the season. So you have David Njoku stay in and Chip, and you have your running backs do that, right? So I think Callahan is a part of this, and like, it's not like Saturday night against Minnesota. I think the Browns got sacked three times. I didn't feel like the quarterbacks were running for their lives Saturday.
True.
But when you watched Wednesday's joint practice, they were. I mean, I had Deshaun Watson getting sacked, you know, and it's subjective, but six or eight times in 24 dropbacks on Wednesday. And, you know, they had four of their starting guys out there and then left tackle. And they weren't all coming from left tackle, right? So there's more issues in play there that I think it's a little more concerning than just who's going to play left tackle.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, is Jack Conklin good to go, do you think, for the regular season opener?
No. I mean, you know, the Browns are being really secretive about injuries and rehabs. So we kind of have to base the progress on, okay, do we see him out watching practice? Like, that feels like a step forward. And then sometimes you get to see guys working out with trainers after, with the athletic training staff after walkthrough, right? And then you gauge that a little bit. And I haven't seen Conklin do any of, like, I haven't seen any of his workouts. So he's back around the team, which is a good sign. He's back watching practice, which is a good sign. But I feel like he's behind Jed Wills, and Jed Wills isn't practicing this week. So I'd be stunned if Jack were ready to go week one. And I don't know if they were ever counting on him being able to go week one. But obviously with the other tackle injuries, that gets magnified.
DeJuan Jones played against Green Bay, did not play against Minnesota. He's good to go, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was just all the starters got right. The day off. I mean, he took every rep in those joint practices.
Nick Chubb, his name's starting to percolate again. What do you think? Do we see him for one of the first four games here? Is he not on the PUP list when the season starts?
No, I think he starts on PUP. I think October seems to make the most sense to me. I mean, I was blown away when I saw him running the Greenbrier at the Greenbrier, and I've seen him run since, and I'm always blown away by it. But there's a difference between, you know, running by yourself versus playing in an NFL game and cutting and taking hits and all those things. And we know the Browns are being extremely cautious with him, which makes sense coming off the injury, the magnitude of that injury, and all of it, right? So I don't think there's any reason, I don't think there's any inclination on their part to rush him back. So I'm still looking at October sometime. Now, nobody's told me that. And maybe they have him on the 53, you know, in a couple of weeks, but or in a week. But that doesn't seem like how this is progressing to me.
Scott, let me go back to the offensive line for one last thing. Is the idea of moving Joel Bitonio to left tackle now a bad idea? It doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, I think it is a bad idea, Jeff, and there's a couple reasons. One, he doesn't want to do it. Two,
bingo, there's the first
game over.
Yeah, that, right? That's it to me.
Yeah, I mean, two, he's better at guard. And three, he's not as young as he used to be, right? And Joel's coming off what was a difficult year for him injury-wise, and I would think even performance-wise, which was connected to the injuries that he had, right? Misses first regular season snaps in forever because he had to get the knee scope during the season. I don't think this is the right time to say, okay, you go on an island and we're going to ask you to block Micah Parsons week one. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be better at it than, you know, Jermaine Ifedi, but Ifedi started a bunch of games in this league at tackle. So I don't think you weaken left guard just for maybe a minimal upgrade in what would be a temporary fix.
You know, it's funny, you know, you look around the league to see who's playing their starters and who's not. Do you think Kevin's got this thing right? I don't know. I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? And this is the topic every year, and I get it, and I get this question from a bunch of people. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. You know, I understand trying to get – I mean, all we talk about during training camp are the injuries, right? Because people worry about it, and I get it. Well, you know how you avoid injuries or more injuries is by not playing these guys in the preseason. So if you want guys to be healthy week one and you want them to hopefully be healthy week eight and week 17 – Part of that is maybe you don't play him in the preseason. On the other hand, you lose valuable reps. So I get it on both sides, but I kind of lean back on, I'm not sure 15 reps in August at preseason speed make that big a difference. So if he wants to rest guys, you know, I think that's fine. But obviously, but you know, his philosophy is to play him the last preseason game, and here we hear different until we hear differently. He's going to play Watson and most of the starters against Seattle.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Have any of the young guys at wide receiver jumped up enough that you think that they're on the radar for a roster spot and maybe some activity? You know, obviously you've got Amari and Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman who are going to be there. After that, you tell me.
Yeah, here's the two that are interesting to me. Michael Woods II, who missed all of last year with the Achilles, right? They're playing him a ton.
69% of the snaps last
game.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had a catch, but he was out there a ton. And I think that's just okay. You missed all this time last year. Here you go. And they were kind of shorthanded receivers. I'm sure that was part of it. But he played a bunch in week one, too. So I've seen stuff from him. You know, he's shown up to me in camp practices. I thought he showed up a little bit against the Packers. And he's just big and physical, and he's fast. Like, there's a lot to like there. And then Jamar Thrash is the other guy. I'll tell you, early in camp, you know, I saw him drop passes. He's not, like, he's kind of small. When you look at him, I think he looks smaller to me than they list him. And I was thinking that, man, I don't know if he's on this roster. And he's shown up in the two games. So we know that they like to keep their own draft picks. I think he, if he hasn't earned a roster spot, I think he's real close with how he's come on in camp, but especially those two preseason games.
All right, David Bell, lock then?
I don't think so. I don't. I think that injury is bad for him. I mean, I don't know if they keep seven receivers. And if they do, one of them's probably returner. You know, Prochet or
Thrash,
Darden,
too.
Right?
And Thrash can return. Thrash can return, yeah. Too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. So I don't, you know, I don't know. I haven't done my final 53 yet. But I came in thinking that David Bell was going to have a hard time making this roster. And then I thought he got off to a good start in camp. And then the injury, I think that's tough for him. And other guys are having a chance to make an impression. So I would not say that Bell's a lock.
Siaki Ika played 45% of the defensive snaps the other day. Has he done anything to earn a roster spot? Or could this be an Anthony Schwartz,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, situation where... Hey, you're going to have to eat this third-round draft choice.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to eat it. And maybe they find a team that is willing to take him or that wants him, because I think there's a couple things in play. I don't think he's the fit for the Jim Schwartz scheme. And I know the whole turn you from a dump truck into a Ferrari or whatever that quote was on draft night. I just don't think Ika has that in him. I think if he's going to have a role in the NFL, it's as – a big guy that holds down two blockers. And that's not what the Browns want him to do.
Like a nose guard in a 3-4, something like that, Scott?
Yes. Yeah. Right? I mean, it could even be a 4-3 if you're just a two-gap guy. And that's not how the Browns play. So maybe a team's looking for him and they liked him, or looking for that, and they liked him coming out. But I don't think he's a fit, and I certainly don't think he deserves one of the – I mean, the most they keep at D-tackle is five, right? And I don't think he's one of those five guys at all. And every time I – kind of focus on him, I don't see him make a play, and I see his kind of back get turned to the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to be one of those, you know, I mean, I hate to say it this early, but I think he's a bust.
All right, Scott, I'm waiting that when the regular season starts that the dynamic kickoff is going to be absolutely dynamic and that everyone's holding things back. And yeah. That, you know, we heard Kevin Stefanski say, you know, the goal of this whole thing is still the same, kick the ball to the line and not into the end zone. I did think it was weird. Like, I didn't feel like after the safety, the team that gave up the safety was punished enough for giving up the safety. I thought that because I wasn't even thinking about dynamic kickoff on safety. I don't, just your thoughts on all of those things.
Well, yeah, first of all, the dynamic thing has been a huge misnomer, and it probably puts too much pressure on the kickoff. I think the kickoff's feeling that pressure, can't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping that we see more excitement when we get to the regular season. I think we will. But there's been nothing to see in the preseason so far to make, you know, me feel good about it or excited about it. But I do think there's a chance when we get to the regular season, it will be different. And then, to be honest with Andy, I saw the safety. I didn't pay any attention
because
I was trying to write I don't even know where they kick off from. They didn't do from the 20 like they normally do.
No, it's like I thought it was like a 10-yard difference, and it looked exactly the same. And I'm like, well, wait a second, that's not. There's no, you know. I think if a defense gets a safety, you know, and then like I was expecting him to punt and not, and so right. I for some reason that feels like that's going to get tweaked at some point because it just seem right.
That's interesting. I'm gonna have to go watch that.
Yeah,
I taped the game because you're right. In the past, the punt made all the sense, right? That's what everybody did was punt.
Yeah.
But if the change of the kickoff affects that, that's a really good point.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. It's just been kind of fun to talk about it, at least. That's for sure. Let's see what – I think it's going to get better during the regular season, Scott, because I think teams are going to run – I think we're going to see one guy handing it off to the other guy and then loop it around the other side. We're going to see some more, you know, crazy plays.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. And, you know, my buddies keep asking, well, why don't they just take the touchback to the 30? I don't think special teams coaches or coaches in general want to give up that extra yardage. So I think until proven otherwise, they're going to kick it to the one or two and let their guys cover and let their guys return unless it's late in the game and you don't want to risk it. But I think we're going to see action on it.
Scott, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you do something there? Are you patient there, Andy? I would think the last thing the Browns want to do right now is overreact in that situation. And overreact to me would be trade somebody you don't want to trade who you actually think is going to be a part of your team for an offensive lineman.
Yeah,
that's overreaction.
I would wait till cut day before I would do that. And cut day has changed so much over the last couple of years. Now it's just one gigantic cut day.
Free for all.
And I think sometimes good players get caught up in the mix there and because there are so many good players out there. So I don't know. I wouldn't do that either. They cannot overreact. That I do agree with. Don't give up.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't give up a place of strength, I guess is the right way to say it, to create two weaker spots. That's just not worth it.
I don't think they'll do that. You never know. We'll see. I would think about, like Scott mentioned, Bakhtiari as well.
Mm-hmm.
See where this is, you know, and if you actually think, A, he can play, B, his knee will hold up, and C, you can juggle those guys. I think that's one of the keys. If you can juggle the offensive line and have enough guys there, and you know if Conklin's not going to be ready to go, and if Wills isn't going to be ready to go, you're going to have to figure something out. Maybe you have enough internal help to do that. Maybe you don't. I do agree with Scott. I just don't like the idea, even the concept, of moving Joel Bitonio to left tackle. I just leave him. You've got a Hall of Fame caliber left guard. You have one of the best left guards in the NFL.
It does seem to be a very desperate move if you're going to do that, and that might be something you're going to do week 15, 16, 17 if you're in that kind of position. I don't know that I'm doing that in the beginning of the season either.
That's a good call by you.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it today. It's a desperate move, and that you just don't – like they don't need to do it right now, especially knowing that – they might be able to find somebody a week from tomorrow when cut day rolls around on the 27th. So,
I would agree with that. I asked Scott about the wide receiver situation. You brought up David Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder. You know, David didn't play in the last game. David, like a lot of the other guys, played 8 snaps against Green Bay. And I wonder what that means. Here's what Petrak had to say about David Bell.
I think that injury was bad for him. I don't know if they keep 7 receivers. And if they do, one of them's probably a returner. I don't know. I haven't done my final 53 yet, but I came in thinking that David Bell was going to have a hard time making this roster. And then I thought he got off to a good start in camp. And then the injury, I think that's tough for him, and other guys are having a chance to make an impression. So I would not say that Bell's a lock.
What's that make you feel?
I think he's on the team. He's still a third-round pick. We know how long they'll hang on to their own picks. You know, from what I was hearing on the radio over the weekend through the Browns radio network, that he is extremely well-liked within the building. And he may not be your 1, 2, 3, 4, even your fifth receiver, but he's definitely your sixth receiver. So I think when it's all said and done, unless he starts the season on the injured list, because he's dealing with it's a quad issue, I think he is, that if he doesn't make the team outright, he'll start the season on the injured list.
You know, one thing that's always interesting about the preseason is somebody might look really good and might be intriguing. And then all of a sudden, that guy just gets cut. And you think, all right, well, were they
and
just...
And then you're like, oh, my God, how come they couldn't hang on to him? Blah, blah, blah. Right. And the next thing you see, they're on the practice squad.
And were they just playing him because they already were sold on other guys? And the guy that comes to mind for me here is Jamari Thrash.
Without a doubt.
You know, is he playing because they already think they have all of their wide receivers locked up? And that would be who? Cooper,
Judy,
Moore,
Tillman.
Let's say Bell.
Or Woods.
And maybe Michael Woods. And is Thrash just playing because, okay, we know we're keeping these other guys and you know we're not going to play them right now?
If you're keeping...
Or has Thrash gone out and played well enough where, hey, we're playing him because we want to see him because we think he can win a job here?
If you keep six, that probably means you're going to cut a guy you drafted. If you keep seven, you're hanging on to all the guys you drafted.
But, you know, you cut guys you draft all the time. Guys who were drafted in the sixth and seventh rounds do not have roster spots guaranteed. They just don't.
Well, Thrash is a fifth rounder.
Even fifth round picks.
I think there are two basic philosophies.
I think he's going to stick.
I think he does too. Even if it's the practice squad, which is a possibility.
True. That is a possibility.
But I also think that there are two philosophies that we've seen under Andrew Berry. And by the way, they made the playoffs, so... In some way, without a doubt, he's doing the right thing. One, if you're a draft pick, you've got a better chance of being protected if they're trying to make cuts. Two, if you're over 30, odds are you're probably not going to be here much longer if you are still on the roster. Those are just two hard facts about the Cleveland Browns, and I think that they live by that philosophy. I don't know if that's a Paul DePodesta philosophy. I don't know if that's an Andrew Berry philosophy, but that has been pretty much status quo with the exception of a few players along the way. It's one of the reasons why we look at Amari Cooper and wonder what's next for him.
Does this mean anything? Devin Bush, who they signed as a free agent, and of course was from Michigan and played with Pittsburgh, with Seattle last year.
Mm-hmm.
He played a lot against Minnesota.
Well, you did have 39 guys that weren't playing in the game, someone had to play.
I know. I thought it was interesting, though, because he played like 56% of the snaps. He played a lot, and it just kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't know that he would. Or excuse me, that was in the first game. And on Saturday, he played a good chunk of the plays as well. He played 36% of the plays. I thought that was a lot for a guy who might be a starting linebacker. And I was just, you're right, somebody's got to play.
Right.
You know, you can't protect everybody. But I just thought, that's a lot of plays for a guy who you signed and think is going to be your starting outside linebacker.
Not that there's a choice, but don't you think he would have liked to have played against Seattle, knowing that he just played there, too? Not that matters.
I don't think so.
I don't think it matters, but it's just always one of those nice little...
Maybe he will. You know, maybe you're going to play a lot of the defensive starters as well.
The big talk last week was Miles Harden and what he, what he's brought to...
And then he had a tough time on that 71-yard touchdown.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was the talk going into yesterday, or going into Saturday. Now you got me doing it, going into Saturday's game. There's some interesting moves they still have left to be made here. It is the dog days of camp right now, Jeff. It really is. I'm ready for the regular season. And, you know, as much as...
Andy, you were ready for the regular season the day camp started.
Yeah, because I felt like, well, and
because
it's okay.
You liked the team. You thought it was ready to go.
Yeah, I love what they have when you have your starting 21 when they're healthy.
Yeah.
Or 21, 22. Yeah, you jinxed me on the math, and now I say starting 21, 22. And so, yeah, I like what they have. I just want to get to the season. I just fear they're going to come out flat. I just feel like Dallas is going to be ready and we're not.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Now, Dallas.
And I don't know if it's because of the injuries or what, but actually it is. It's because of the injuries.
But Dallas is a little. Dallas is a little screwy right now, too.
I know.
You know, with Dak and CeeDee Lamb and that whole thing.
Good. Let's have more drama there. More drama in Dallas. Bring it on.
You want Dallas drama, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an interesting situation. That's certainly the case. So yesterday, I played in a golf outing. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
The odd thing about it is, I used to play a lot of golf.
I know.
Right. I played on the golf team in high school. We had like four guys who could play and me. It's kind of the way it went. And then I got better, you know, through after high school.
Is it true they have a statue of you outside the high school?
Yeah. It's, you know, shanking a golf ball.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually an honorary tree that they planted that he hit.
Do you have like the water retriever in your hand rather than a club?
Anybody who carries the water retriever in the bag, never a good sign.
Best club ever, right here. And I was at the point now, I'm like, okay, well, if we say dollar a ball, I'm looking for all the water I can. If I pick up, you know, if I can find 18 in there, it's a free round of golf.
Well, I didn't give up the game intentionally, and I didn't give it up. But when I got married and had kids, I just didn't play golf much anymore. Anyhow, I played yesterday. It was the first time in at least a year that I've played golf. And I actually went to the driving range three times in the last couple of weeks so that I didn't completely embarrass the family. And
look at you, Johnny Dedication.
It was a scramble. The first two times I went to the driving range, it was like, ooh, this isn't good. Third time, it was like, hey, there were some glimpses of, you know, the ability to hit the golf ball. Our team, we think, finished dead last in the scramble.
Oh, congratulations. You normally win golf lessons.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we finished dead last, but we had a heck of a lot of fun, so that was really good. And I hit enough shots that made me think, yeah, I need to go play more golf.
Trending appropriately?
I was, actually.
So you're done or no? You're going to go play
playing?
More golf?
Yeah. No, I'm probably going to play some more.
Sore?
Not as sore as my buddy.
Are you telling us the story or not?
I'm not going to tell you who my buddy is, but my buddy hates playing golf.
I respect that.
He hates it. You know, he played college baseball. He hates playing golf.
Okay.
And he started to play golf a little bit recently because his brother dragged him out on the golf course. So we played yesterday. I texted him this morning, and I said, my back's a little sore today, lower back. I said, means I either need to play less or more golf. He texted me back and he said, I am in urgent care right now because my back is thrown out.
No.
And I said, you're kidding me, right? I said, you're kidding me, right? He sent me a picture from inside the exam room. He said he messed it up on the golf course yesterday. I didn't even know. And he said, and then I really threw it out brushing my teeth.
He threw it out brushing his teeth.
Must have been over, you know, something, I don't know.
You can take away the pain, but you can't take away the swelling.
So there's that.
I think I realized how I tore my rotator cuff. It hit me last week.
Oh, did you? Did you tear the rotator cuff?
No. Now here's
No doctor has told you torn your rotator cuff.
Okay, so I went to physical therapy last week.
Can you raise your left arm above your head yet?
No, not. I mean, unless I use my other arm.
It's been a couple of weeks.
It's been a couple months.
It's not good if you have to pull the other arm up with the good arm.
But that's part of the deal. That was part of the physical therapy that I went through. It took like 6-7 weeks to get into physical therapy to do that. And you know, insurance isn't paying for anything. So like I went in, my doctor was like, we'll figure this out. So I went in for x-rays to see if there was a broken bone in there. No broken bone. So now I'm like, well, can't we just get an MRI? He's like, no, insurance wants you to go through physical therapy before you can get an MRI. And as I was going through physical therapy last week, I was like, what do you think? She's like, probably an MRI somewhere down the road here for you. And I'm just like, why can't we just cut to the chase and find out what's going on here, right? So, but I'm 90% sure that I finally figured out how it happened because I remember trying to remember, what did I do? How did this happen? And when you have two dogs, one run
you
runs one way. I think it was
dogs,
a dog,
man.
Yeah, I think it was.
They don't bring you joy; they bring you agony.
You
can't find them. B, they cause rotator cuff injuries.
C, they've destroyed the house. But that's another point. I just feel like I got pulled apart. You know, like one of those little finger things, and that you can't get out of it. So something I realized it the other day when that actually happened again. And I'm like, oh, man, this is how it probably happened.
So, in other words, you're walking two dogs and they go separate ways?
Yes. And then all of a sudden, one wants to run one way, one wants to run the other way. And then all of a sudden, you become, you know, like the wishbone. That's my wishbone offense now, by the way, when I walk the dog.
So your dogs tore your rotator cuff.
It may have been the dog. And the good thing is it's my left arm and not my right arm.
Did it eat your homework, too?
We can't talk about that, especially the math homework. There's another story there, too. I had a great weekend, though. I will tell you that.
Was out good.
At Blossom on Saturday morning
for
the Gift of Life Walk and Run for Life Bank.
Yeah.
Had a fantastic time. Gordon, who's been the president for years, stepping down. I think after 24 years, he's been the president out there. But I got to tell you, the folks that were out there, it's an amazing day because, it's all about organ, eye, and tissue transplant and it's a great walk. Blossom does a fantastic job. The folks at Hermes Sports do a great job running the 5K event. There's all these walkers, all the teams that get together. Really had a great time. Tiffany Tarpley from Channel 5 was my co-host, and I've been doing this like 18 years. So and every year, and it's a way to say thank you to someone who gave me the opportunity to spend 6 more months with my brother before he passed away. So, it's just fantastic. And, as we end the show every day, it's, be a hero, be a real hero, be an organ donor. That's what it's all about. And the folks and the families and everybody's got a story to share out there. And it's really a lot of love. It's a lot more than just, walk or run. So fantastic event, once again, run by Life Bank. And say yes when you're at the DMV or BMV, whatever you want to call it.
I have, actually.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. One other thing happened yesterday. This golf outing that I was in was in Alliance, so it was a pretty good drive for me.
Mm-hmm.
395,000 miles on the minivan.
What? Congratulations.
I don't know if I'm going to get to four.
You're at 395 now. You're not going to get to four? Come on.
I've got to go for it, don't I?
You 100% yes. have to go for it.
How do you not?
It's driving great. The check engine light is something that's not anything drastic, I was told.
Oh, it's like going to the disco. It's just another light. Not a big deal.
That's what the electrical tape's for.
This traction control light goes on and off all the time.
Traction. Who needs that?
Electrical tape.
Yeah.
The bizarre thing is on my way into work every morning, I pass this one house, and it's like, okay, that traction control light thing is going to come on right about now. Boom, it does. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the car gets warmed up enough that it comes on at a certain time, or if there's something on the asphalt that messes with the system. I don't know what it is.
Hmm.
But I'll go out of here after work, get in it. It'll be off.
Well, that's good.
There's one spot on the highway where it comes on every day on the way home. So I'm beginning to think it gets to a certain point. It's driven this long or whatever, and then boom, there it is.
I wonder if we could petition the city of Cleveland to put the minivan, when you're done, after you get to 400,000 or past that, to put it up on a pedestal in front of the station. They could paint it maybe gold or something, especially to get rid of the rust spots. And make it into a statue.
The rust spots are getting rid of themselves because they're just falling off the car.
It is true, man.
It's like leaving a souvenir for the city of Cleveland.
You know what it is, though? Look at it. Look at the positive, Jeff. It's easier to fix a tire because there's more room.
Yeah,
that's right.
And better gas mileage because the car's lighter.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, and yeah.
When I took it in for the oil change that we debated about before, they went to put it on the rack. But
the $125 oil change.
Yeah, but there was enough stuff coming, rust coming off the truck that they said, yeah, we're not going to put it up on the rack.
They were scared to put it on the rack because they thought the rack would knock all the rust off and they wouldn't have any left.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
And your car would disintegrate on the rack.
Thought. It's kind of what they thought.
It's like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. You just put it down and it just keeps losing needles.
But you know the bad thing? The dang thing drives great. It still does. It runs just great.
Any chance of taking the motor out of that thing and putting it in something else?
I don't
think
so.
Bringing that back to life.
I don't think so.
Talk about a transplant. There you go,
man.
Now,
see, that would be something
right
there.
Now, that would be cool. Yeah.
But it just keeps going. I've got to go to 400, don't I?
Without question. You have to, yeah.
This isn't even a debate.
Yeah, this isn't a debate. Unless you don't feel safe, then you got to say
no, it drives great.
So I see. Yeah, the thing is you get
if you're
driving behind him, you get souvenir parts if you want to go out on the road and pick him up.
Even if you don't feel safe, we'll just pay for an extra seatbelt so that you feel safer.
Around the gas tank is where, you know, where you put the gas in.
Yeah, that's normally what they call that. Yeah.
That's where the rust issue is, and Andy always yells about it.
I'm not yelling about it.
Every time we walk to the car, you're like, hey, look at there. Nice rust.
You would do exactly the same to me.
Roberts in Brecksville. Roberts Malibu has over 395.
I am at 398 right now.
You drive too much, man.
I'll hit 400 by Friday.
You drive too much.
You know what? It pays well, and Missoula's nice. So,
are you in Missoula right now? Is that what you said?
No, I'm just getting off on the turnpike right now. I'm about to get on 480, but no.
Well, keep driving for 3 days. You'll hit Missoula. You're good.
I know, right? Jeff, you're projected to hit 400 between the bye week and the first week of December. So you think your van will get till then?
Yeah, I think it'll make it. Easily, right, actually.
Robert, can I be really honest with you, my friend? And I consider you a friend of the show. The fact that you can give me an estimated time of 400,000 miles on his minivan means you've got way too much time on your hands. Way too much time.
You post too much on your Twitter account. When you post, whoever monitors COE Talking Heads posted Bell's odometer at 350 and 375. From those 2 dates, I could calculate his average.
Robert, keep driving safely.
Start writing down your quick predicts. Get ready.
Oh, I got a good one. I hope Phelps is working the first Friday because I want him working for it.
I think I am, actually.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. Good. Okay.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Robert. Thanks, buddy. There's Robert in Brecksville. He's got my back when it comes to the car.
Oh, because he feels your pain.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to get to 400,000. You've come this far.
Jeff in Cleveland texts me, when you and your wife go out to dinner, what do you drive?
Oh, dude, that's a great question.
Jeff, that is a good question. She will not ride in the van.
What?
No, heavens.
Oh.
I said, honey, this is the vehicle that
have you guys thought about counseling
you yet? Raised our children in. She goes, yeah, I'm not riding in it.
She's like, our children are now applying for Golden Buckeye.
Our youngest child is now 20.
Yes.
And we got the van before we got him.
I'm not going to touch this story with a 10-foot pole. And I'm like, oh, man, this is how it probably happens.
So, in other words, you're walking two dogs and they go separate ways?
Yes. And then all of a sudden, one wants to run one way, one wants to run the other way. And then all of a sudden, you become, you know, like the wishbone. That's my wishbone offense now, by the way, when I walk the dog.
So your dogs tore your rotator cuff.
It may have been the dog. And the good thing is it's my left arm and not my right arm.
Did it eat your homework, too?
We can't talk about that. Especially the math homework. There's another story there, too. I had a great weekend, though. I will tell you that.
Was out good.
At Blossom on Saturday morning
for
the Gift of Life Walk and Run for Life Bank.
Yeah.
Had a fantastic time. Gordon, who's been the president for years, stepping down. I think after 24 years, he's been the president out there. But I got to tell you, the folks that were out there, it's an amazing day because, it's all about organ, eye, and tissue transplant and it's a great walk. Blossom does a fantastic job. The folks at Hermes Sports do a great job running the 5K event. There's all these walkers, all the teams that get together. Really had a great time. Tiffany Tarpley from Channel 5 was my co-host, and I've been doing this like 18 years. So, and every year, and it's a way to say thank you to, someone who gave me the opportunity to spend 6 more months with my brother before he passed away. So, it's just fantastic. And, as we end the show every day, it's, be a hero, be a real hero, be an organ donor. That's what it's all about. And the folks and the families and everybody's got a story to share out there. And it's really a lot of love. It's a lot more than just, walk or run. So, fantastic, event once again, run by Life Bank. And say yes when you're at the DMV or BMV, whatever you want to call it.
I have, actually.
Thank you.
Yep. One other thing happened yesterday. This golf outing that I was in was in Alliance, so it was a pretty good drive for me.
Mm-hmm.
395,000 miles on the minivan.
What? Congratulations.
I don't know if I'm going to get to four.
You're at 395 now. You're not going to get to four. Come on.
I've got to go for it, don't I?
You 100% yes. have to go for it.
How it's do you not?
It's driving great. The check engine light is something that's not anything drastic, I was told.
Oh, it's like going to the disco. It's just another light. Not a big deal.
This, that's what the electrical tape's
this
for.
This traction yes. control light goes on and off all the time.
Traction. Who needs
Again,
that?
Electrical tape.
Yeah.
The bizarre thing is on my way into work every morning, I pass this one house, and it's like, okay, that traction control light thing is going to come on right about now. Boom, it does. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the car gets warmed up enough that it comes on at a certain time, or if there's something on the asphalt that messes with the system. I don't know what it is. Hmm. But I'll go out of here after work, get in it. It'll be off.
Well, that's good.
You then can there's get... one spot on the highway where it comes on every day on the way home. So I'm beginning to think it gets to a certain like point. It's driven this long or whatever, and then boom, there it is.
I wonder if we could petition the city of Cleveland to put the minivan, when you're done, after you get to 400,000 or past that, to put it up on a pedestal in front of the station. They could paint it maybe gold or something, especially to get rid of the rust spots. Those are, you know, and make it into a statue.
The rust spots are getting rid of themselves because they're just falling off the car.
It is true, man.
It's like leaving a souvenir for the city of Cleveland.
No, you know what it is, though? Look at it, look at the positive, Jeff. It's easier to fix a tire because there's more room.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
And better gas mileage because the car's lighter.
Yeah.
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 See?
Yeah, and... Yeah.
When I took it in for the oil change that we debated about
yes.
before, they went to put it on the rack. But
the $125 oil change.
Yeah. But the there was enough stuff coming, rust coming off the truck that they said, yeah, we're not going to put it up on the rack.
They were scared to put it on the rack because yes. they thought the rack would knock all the rust off and you wouldn't have anything left.
That's what they thought.
And your car would disintegrate kind of on the rack.
Thought. It's kind of what they thought.
It's like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. You just put it down and it just keeps losing needles.
But you know the bad thing? The dang thing drives great. It still does. It runs just great.
Any chance of taking the motor out of that thing and putting it in something else?
I don't
think
so.
Bring that back to life.
I don't think so.
Talk about a transplant. There you go,
now,
man.
See, that would be
now,
something
that would
right
be cool.
There.
Yeah.
But it just keeps going. I've got to go to 400, don't I?
Without
you
question.
Have to, yeah.
This isn't even a debate.
Yeah, this isn't a debate. Unless you don't feel safe, then you got to say
no, it drives great.
So I see. The other thing is you get souvenir.
Even if you...
If you're driving behind him, you get souvenir parts if you want to go out on the road and pick him up.
Even if you don't feel safe, we'll just pay for an extra seatbelt so that you feel safer.
Around the gas tank is where, you know, where you put the gas in.
Yeah, that's normally what they call that. Yeah.
That's where the rust issue is, and Andy always yells about it.
I'm not yelling about it. It's
well,
just,
every time we walk to the car, you're like, hey, look at there. Nice rust.
You would do exactly the same to me.
Robert's in Brecksville. Robert's Malibu has over 395.
I am at 398 right now.
You drive too much, man.
I'll hit 400 by Friday.
You drive too much.
Yeah, well, you know what? It pays well, and Missoula's nice, so.
Are you in Missoula right now? Is that what you said?
No, I'm just getting off on the turnpike right now. I'm about to get on 480, but no.
Well, keep driving for 3 days. You'll hit Missoula. You're good.
I know, right? Jeff, you're projected to hit 400 between the bye week and the first week of December, so you think your van will get till then?
Yeah, I think it'll make it. Easily, actually.
Robert, can I be really honest with you, my friend? And I consider you a friend of the show. The fact that you can give me an estimated time of 400,000 miles on his minivan means you've got way too much time on your hands. Way too much time.
You post too much on your Twitter account. When you post, whoever monitors CLE Talking Heads posted Bell's odometer at 350 and 375. From those 2 dates, I could calculate his average.
Robert, keep driving safely.
Keep starting. Start writing down your quick predicts. Get ready.
Oh, I got a good one. I hope Phelps is working the first Friday because I want him working for it.
I think I am, actually.
Oh, you are? Okay, good.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Robert. Thanks, buddy. There's Robert in Brecksville. He's got my back when it comes to the car.
Oh, because he feels your pain.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to get to 400,000. You've come this far.
Jeff in Cleveland texts me, when you and your wife go out to dinner, what do you drive?
Oh, dude, that's a great question.
Jeff, that is a good question. She will not ride in the van.
What?
No, heavens.
Oh.
I said, honey, this is the vehicle that
have you guys thought about counseling
you yet? Raised our children in. She goes, yeah, I'm not riding in it.
She's like, our children are now applying for Golden Buckeye.
Our youngest child is now 20.
Yes.
And we got the van before we got him.
I'm not going to touch this story with a 10-foot pole.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.